What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the show. Today's a special episode of the Wait Break Podcast, the marketing podcast for high growth e-commerce and direct-to-consumer brands. This is a snippet of the final Q&A that came from the webinar with Danielle and David. Some really good questions were asked by the audience, and then we just started riffing on the state of e-commerce and what we see. So, you know, Famous works with thousands of brands, and well, actually all of us combined work with thousands of brands on a monthly basis. And so we're able to see these trends that other people don't see. And so we share what we're seeing the most successful brands doing now, and we do it in Q&A format. So make sure you come to one of the next webinars if you want to be part of a Q&A like this with a bunch of really smart people in the room. But luckily for you, we've got this episode that you can just listen to and replay. So without further ado, we will get into that, and I will talk to you guys soon. David, like talking about UGC, like what are some of the most common, I guess, like mistakes that brands are making when it comes to, I guess, like creative in general, or like UGC that you see when they're really trying to like generate it at scale, or just like, I don't know, just what are you seeing right now on your end? Yeah. 'Cause I know you're deep in that world.
I mean, what we're typically seeing is people not planning enough, right? Like just going at it, getting tons of content created, which is fine on some level, but what you want is really make sure that you tie that content that you're looking to create and tie it to a goal. And then once you do that, then it becomes really easy to create good content systematically across all your organization.
What does that look like? Like when you say goal, do you mean like specific campaigns, yeah, so specific launch, or?
Let's go with the specific, right? We need some review, right? You talked about in your presentation, you talked about handling objections, right? Well, you could do that on a like testimonial basis with some micro influencers, and then you'd map that out, right? What are the USPs we want to convey in those kind of videos that we're going to be shooting, and what kind of objections do we want to address, right? Or questions we want to answer. And then you'd map that out like that. And where does that stand in your user journey, right? You could use that in your email marketing, just like you discussed, and then have some video content from creators in there. And then you could go and turn around and get creators to do it. That's what I mean by planning it. So you could say, we want to create content on TikTok. Here is what this content piece is going to look like. We're going to do this cooking recipe. And then after that, for this content piece, we want to make sure that we have a nutritionist talking about the benefits of salmon and so forth, right? And planning that out is what's going to give you like an overarching kind of content calendar that you can deploy, or else you're just going to end up with tons of the same content is what, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. And we did get a Q&A for you, David, which is for InBeat. Does it create a library of content from the influencers that you work with?
Yeah, we do have that's a good question. We do have a feature that we're developing right now, which is the content library in there. As of now, it doesn't aggregate it. It allows you to find the influencers on the agency side. We do have our feature that's built that we provide our clients with, but in the software, it's not there yet. And then
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, what were you going to say there?
Yeah, there's one for you there, right? So I work for a startup and we're just getting started, meaning we don't have a huge customer base or even a big mailing list. How do you measure a good opening rate? And how do you make sure people won't unsubscribe if you send them 7+ emails per campaign? Yeah, that's a good one, Dylan.
Oh yeah, that is a good question. I mean, first things first, like when you think of it as a startup, I would say first things first, I'd focus on like growing revenue and product market fit for the brand first. Like that's really when email and SMS become your superpower, when you already have that. So not that you need a huge customer base, but I think you do need a solid base to start. Good open rate, like it average in retail is like 15%. So everything above that is good. The smaller your list, the better your open rate probably, because the higher quality and more engaged it is. Like as you get up into the millions, your open rate tends to decrease over time, but with good segmentation, you can keep that high. And making sure people don't unsubscribe, you focus on sending quality content. Even if you're sending a volume of content, if you send quality content, you're less likely to have people unsubscribe, and then also just like constantly be growing your list so that if people do unsubscribe, which they will, you're not affected by it because you're focused on growing. And then also we're only sending this high of a volume during a really prime time, and most people aren't even seeing all of those emails just because they're not even seeing all those emails because there's so much competition inside the inbox already. So first thing I'd focus on is like product market fit, scaling revenue to like that 1 to 3 million range first before really focusing too much on email. Other than that, yeah, that's the rest of the answers to the other questions too.
That sounds great. You have another one for Wavebreak, Dylan. I'll read it out. Do you have support for creating valuable content and catchy headlines?
I'm not sure exactly what that means. Like, yeah,
if we could have some specifications on that, I'm not sure I get the gist of the question either.
Yeah, I mean,
I've helped. Do you have people that kind of offer advice for those types of things?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, in-house, like the way we think about our team is like there's a few core roles. Like there's strategy at the high level, like moving the program forward. There's the person running the day to day, and then there's we have a copywriter and designer on the team too. So designers focus on making the email look great, stand out in the inbox. And then yeah, copywriters focused on writing really great copy. And speaking of like valuable content and catchy headlines, like I think that's where like growing brands have a huge advantage because they can have fun with it. I think like almost trying less to be like a brand and like more just having fun with it. We've seen that be really effective too. You know, if you want to look at brands to copy, you know, think of like Manscaped or like companies like that or ballsy in this space. Yeah. Okay. So like email subject lines, because catchy and eye open. So like, you know, one example of that too is like increasing open rates over time. Something that's really effective is just sending really great and consistent emails over time. Like we've not even changed our open rate strategy. Sure, we've A/B tested it for one specific client, but within 6 months, we nearly doubled their open rates by just sending consistent and quality emails. And like people get those, they open it, they enjoy the content inside, and then they keep opening because they want to see what's next. And then the rest is like, you know, good artist copy, great artist steal. Like go find some inspiration on brands that get you to open. And you really don't have to reinvent the wheel and just think like, does this intrigue me to open? Like even like a sale email, you could say, you know, 50% off in the subject line, or you can say like our biggest sale of the year. Like what's kind of like biggest sale of the year? That's not the best subject line, but like what's more intriguing? You kind of want to figure out what the biggest sale of the year is versus just saying it in the subject line. So keeping it vague definitely helps too. So hope that answers the question.
And I'm just going to jump in, David, really quick and beyond the subject line. Once you are, you know, getting on a consistent schedule and getting your open rates up, it's really about the content itself and providing the experience beyond just the content. So going back to what I was talking about in relation to social commerce, you know, the content you're providing in your email, whether it's a blog or a podcast clip or whatever it may be, where they land afterwards is extremely important in the experience itself. So just be mindful of that continued journey as you're building these things out.
Yeah, that's huge. And on that point, Danielle, I know like one thing you guys focus on at Famous is like creating like an Instagram story like experience through landing pages. Like, can you talk a little bit about that and like the idea behind that and how that works?
So yeah, I mean, I think what you create on Famous is what happens after your Instagram story. So you would create the assets that you have for your Instagram story that you want to promote in your ad campaign on Instagram or the like. And then what Famous is really what you land on. So we really are focused on the continued journey, which what I just spoke about. So when you land on the Instagram story, it's an ad, you love it, you click it, instead of just taking someone to like the product itself, or whatever's being sold, we create this full experience that really is tailored to the segment, to the audience segment, so that it's very personalized and customized to them. They feel like they're actually immersed in the shopping experience and they're more likely to convert that way.
Yeah, that's great. I think what we see about like, what I think is really cool about Famous is it is kind of like, if you were to go from an Instagram story to the landing page, it is it's a much more like extension of that experience than like landing on a collections page with like a million SKUs to pick from. And it's just like, now I feel like I'm in an aisle in a department store equivalent online.
Yeah. It's that whole ability to take someone's interest in a specific shoe and then bring them right to that shoe versus their catalog of shoes where they're like, I don't want all these shoes. I just want the shoe that I was looking at. So yeah, that's exactly right, David.
Super important. Yeah. And then like, we even saw that with a client. One of our clients is like, we focus on just email and SMS, but they're wondering why their Facebook ads performance was like lower. And some of their ads were like linking to the wrong products. So it's like, no wonder they're not converting. Like so many brands do that.
From a marketing standpoint, I think that a lot of people make that mistake, is that they think that they design their campaigns and they build their campaigns and their campaigns stop after they create their ad, right? They just send them to the homepage and they just say, okay, great. You're interested in our brand. Awesome. Here's the homepage. But again, with the pandemic and the rise of so many people shopping on their phones and wanting the experience to be very seamless, you just kind of have to start to think more about what happens after you create this awesome ad campaign and what that experience looks like. And that's really where Famous comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And like thinking of, just where I think like the typical marketing funnel for like a direct consumer brand is broken right now. It's like 99% of your budget over the last couple of years has just gone into Facebook ads. It's like dollar after dollar after dollar. But the brands that are winning now are diversifying their spend into, like you said, like, you know, better landing page experience to drive more conversions, UGC to drive more conversions at scale, like more money into creative, which I think is really smart. And same on email and SMS to like get that revenue that's already in your business out. I think that's a huge thing too. It's like marketing budgets are kind of broken. They're just focused on Facebook. And now it's exciting to start to see them shift away and to see brands win because of that.
Because it worked, right? It worked. Facebook ads worked really well. Now the ROAS and CPMs are going down and now people have to focus on retention and building long-term customer value. So
And standing out on those platforms, like every customer you do acquire from them, it's like getting harder. So you need the UGC to stand out. You need the landing page to drive that extra bump in conversion that you know, that's make or break nowadays.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do we have other questions here?
Yeah, I think
we
have one.
We do
here.
Have a couple.
David, what's the average age of influence for InBeat? We have a product line for 30 to 50, and I know you referenced Gen Z a bit.
Yeah, so Gen Z, and I mean, Gen Z is like the new generation of creators. I mean, there's tons of influencers on social media. 30 to 50 is well represented. It's not a suburb. I mean, people are on social media. Seniors are on social media. Seniors are on Instagram. Like, people are spending time on social media. They're interacting with the platforms very differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take that into consideration. You know, people that will... The boomers that are on Instagram are interacting very differently with Instagram, but they're still interacting nevertheless. They're going to be looking at home renovation projects and such. You know, their content interest just shifts, but they're there. They're there. They interact weirdly. If you ask a Gen Z, like, you know, and if you look at the difference between a Gen Z and a boomer interacting on social media, it's flagrant. But yeah. They're there. They have influencers and so forth. What I'd recommend doing is asking for your influencers to share their audience metrics, right? And then from there, you're just going to get the gist of, okay, who's working with that, who's following these influencers, and if they understand that audience.
Yeah, and then focus on the content, like the actual content that they're creating. The people, the 30 to 50 year old crowd, the boomer, so to speak, they're looking for a different visual to click on than the Gen Z.
Yeah, 100%. And what looks good for a boomer is not what looks good for a Gen Z. And that is a fact. That is
what does look better from a UGC perspective for like older audiences?
Yeah, just let the creators do it. That's what I'd recommend. And don't judge any of the aesthetic that they're going to come up with. That's essentially how I'd run it, right? What looks good, like everything that my mom, I use my mom as a case study quite a lot because she's amazing on social media. And like what she clicks on just blows my mind away. Yeah. Like I don't even know how she clicks on
that's
that.
No, that's amazing. So basically you're saying just trust the UGC, throw it into Facebook. The 10X ROAS has been unlocked again.
Exactly. Trust it. Don't touch it.
I 100% agree with that. I think that like they would come back with a visual and you'd be like, this is terrible. This isn't going to work. And then it will probably perform amazing. So I would 100% agree with that answer.
It's so true. I think brands get like initially you need the vision for the brand and where it's headed, but like so many brands get too caught up with like how they want the brand to look or what products they want to launch for the brand or like all these things, when really the most successful brands are the ones who just like end up going with what works and understanding their customers. Like, product launches flop when you're like, oh, we should probably launch this. And then you don't talk to your customers and you launch it and it doesn't do well. But if you just literally emailed your customers like, hey, what do you want to see next? They're like, oh, you should launch XYZ. And it's like you launch it and it crushes, because for every one person who responded, 10 people were thinking the same thing. Same goes for UGC. It's like, I think there's a huge lesson in that too, is like, stop doing what you want as a like really smart and creative and like aesthetically creative minded marketer, and just trust the audience, which is so hard to do, especially when you probably see some like really cringe creative from some of these people.
No, that's such a valuable advice, Dylan. I think focusing on your community, like your brand's community, and really just listening to everything that they have to say, it's right there. They'll tell you, like, you'll see it clearly what it is that they're looking for, whether it be what they're looking for from your, from like an ad campaign perspective or your next product launch or whatever it be. Like, you can easily like crowdsource those types of those answers to those questions that you have, instead of spending hours brainstorming behind the scenes with like your designer and your marketing team. The community aspect is really important in providing the content that's going to be successful.
And I'd add to that, right? Like, you know, one thing we've discovered by working with influencers is trying to add like perceived value in there, right? One thing we do with influencers is we create kind of like a big visual to include all of them. And then we can ask them tons of questions, because after that we give them, you know, access to, they're going to be in our newsletter, they're going to be featured, and we have these top 50 creators, and then we add them in there, and then all of a sudden you can create tons of perceived value. You could do the same with client feedback. You could say, hey, you know, like, what would you like us to build, right? And you can get ship free product to them and get their insight, get them on a qualitative one-on-one call and dive into that, ask questions and get out of your paradigm and try to understand the world.
No, it's true. And that works really well on the email channel too. Like, if you ask people to launch a product, people are interested. And then those people who responded with that, you keep them updated as you go to launch the product. I've done a podcast on that before with a few people. And then when you launch the product, it does really well because everyone wants to buy it because they feel like they made it and played a role in it. That's awesome. So we have a couple more minutes left for questions. If anyone wants to drop some last questions. Oh, will the recording of this presentation? Yeah, we'll send the replay out as soon as it's live. I did forget to press record until like 5 seconds in, so the intro's cut off, but none of the important information is. I knew I was forgetting something. Like, when we started, I was like, that was too easy. We jumped right in. It's like, oh, I forgot to hit record. But yeah, we'll be sending out the replay after. Absolutely.
If I could just sort of provide a summary, I think like everything we've talked about here has spoken to like digital marketing in the traditional sense and how that's still really important, but then taking beyond like an out of the box approach to how you like funnel creative into your digital marketing efforts and your traditional marketing efforts, whether it be from user generated content or influencer marketing, or, you know, your continued shopping or digital experience beyond the ad and beyond the social media post. I think that's really what I've taken from this conversation and what we've spoken about is just what are like pushing the limits to traditional marketing and digital marketing, and then, and like taking it beyond what has previously been acceptable.
Definitely. No, yeah, this has been really fun to chop it up. I guess that's all the questions we have. David, anything else you would add to the end of this?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think Danielle really summed it up well, so I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. Less is more. So yeah, thanks so much for joining us, everybody. David, thanks for coming on. Danielle, thanks for coming on. I just realized we're all guys. D names, the three D's.
Yeah.
There you go. Three D's. Makes it easy. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. Guys. We'll get the replay out. Go check out Famous at famous.co, nbeat at nbeat.co, and waybreak at waybreak.co.
There you go. All dot co domains. All dot co. That's dope. Yeah, there you go.
Easy to remember. Talk soon, everybody. Have a great Q4.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye. See you guys.